Hello again, everybody. J.R. Radcliffe from Lake Country and Now Publications. Another episode of Initial Reaction is upon you. Once again, we're joined remotely by one J.P. Kadoran, still doing the fatherhood thing. J.P., how are things?
The fatherhood thing, huh?
Yeah,
the
it's
baby
a thing.
Is screaming upstairs. He's about to be fed, so things will be nice and calm here shortly.
I can hear him in the background. Is this his first ever podcast?
Well, no, last week.
Oh, last week. He was on the podcast?
I think he was quiet last week.
Oh, okay. But this is the first time we're hearing his voice on the podcast. That's very exciting. Congratulations, Luca, on being a media celebrity.
It's a beautiful crying voice, isn't it?
It really
I don't
is.
Mind. It's funny how quickly I just became immune to crying. I mean, now it just doesn't even affect me anymore. It's like, okay, we understand what you need. Go away.
Yeah, I remember feeling badly that I had looked down upon people in supermarkets who just sort of ignored their crying children.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking when I didn't have kids, just get your kids out of here. What are you thinking? And now it's like, I totally understand. I totally get it. There's a lot of revelations in the first year or so of becoming
a parent. What's been going on in the sports world?
Not a whole lot, really. It's been really slow, except for the Badgers winning a Big Ten title and the Packers winning the biggest football game on the NFL schedule this year.
The biggest game of the year. It was. I watched both of those from the comfort of my own home, which is interesting. Both games were really fun to watch.
Yeah, it was a really, really fun weekend for football. And I want to talk predominantly about the Badgers because they are now off to the Big Ten Championship game, which is played in Indianapolis, which I was actually there just this weekend driving through from Kentucky, where I went to enjoy a flu-filled Thanksgiving weekend. And Indianapolis, the Colts were playing that day. You have been there a couple times before to see the Big Ten Championship game because the Badgers have been there twice before. I was just kind of curious what that experience is like for you, for the players. I mean, just off the top of your head, what were some moments to remember, I guess, from the past two experiences at the title game?
Does this count as like a reporter just starting off a question with, hey, talk about this instead of...
Yeah, you know, everybody hates that inside the industry. I don't, because sometimes you have no idea what to ask. So it's just like, talk about this. Well, I'm kind of interested. I've never been to the Big Ten title game. Talk about it, JP. Tell me what you know.
Oh, boy. Okay. Well, first of all, it is marvelously fantastical. Is that
right? Really? No, not even close to a word, but we'll go with it.
Okay.
We'll go with it. It's our podcast.
Because it is. Just the whole trip, by far, I think, is one of the favorite events of mine throughout the entire year. I know I probably say that a lot, but I think my rankings would be like Big Ten Championship, individual state wrestling, and state football are like my three favorite events of the year, any sport, any season, et cetera. So this is definitely my top things to do. I will be heading down Saturday, and it's cool because Indianapolis, as you know, apparently is only 4 hours away, so it's not a terribly long trip. So we leave Saturday morning and we get there, you know, in the afternoon, and then we walk around downtown, which is so awesome. Just Indianapolis is a really cool and well thought out city. Just the way that everything is right next to each other, but it's all planned out really well. It's not like it's not like a town like Milwaukee where, yes, everything downtown is just in one small little downtown area. It's where everything you need is in one area and basically right next door to each other. So it's really, really cool the way that it works out. So we'll get there in the afternoon. The game isn't until 8 o'clock Eastern time. So we have a ton of time tomorrow before the game. And then Lucas Oil Stadium itself is pretty cool. I love the fact that it's a domed stadium, which is always nice the first weekend of December. I love the crowd being split 50-50. I think it's, I don't know if we want to call it unfortunate, but I don't really like how both teams are going to be in all red, or both fan bases are going to be in all red, because it's more fun when you're able to tell who's cheering for who and what side traveled better, etc. It's an incredible environment. It's really, really fun to be at. The pre-production of everything on the video boards and on the TV broadcast are really, really good. I love this weekend. Absolutely love it.
It's interesting because you only really get a week lead time to know whether or not you're going to be going.
Yeah.
So fan bases, obviously Ohio State has known now for a couple of weeks, but I mean, the Badgers fan base reacts better than I think a lot of them, where they can just sort of pick up and say, you know what, we're going. And like you said, it's not that far away.
Yeah, exactly.
I like Indy because it's easy to just drive through it. But it's not hard to get to, and so I imagine a lot of fans can say, look, I got a couple days to think about it, I'm going to go.
Yeah, and the only problem would be if people feel like stopping in Valparaiso, right?
Yes, home of the Valparaiso University Crusaders, JP.
Oh, gross.
Why are they gross? They're not even a threat to your people.
I feel gross even saying that.
Come on,
that's
like my alma mater.
That's like saying the only stop before Lincoln is Iowa City.
Is it?
No.
The only stop?
No. There's the
you could stop.
There's the capital of Iowa, which happens to be Des Moines, or translated in French, Des Moines.
Yes, Des Moines.
Oh, yeah. I'm very excited for Saturday night. I'm glad that I'm going. It's not an assignment that I dread, which, as we and other people in the biz know, there are some of those assignments, but it's a really cool event, so I'm excited.
Yes, and everyone wants to hear us complain when the assignment goes wrong, especially when it comes to air travel.
Right?
That's my experience.
Oh, people, no matter what business you're in or what trip you take, people love complaining about air travel. That's not a journalism thing.
No, I agree with that. So the Badgers come into this game. They're actually going to be a favorite. Is there a lot of ramp-up? Because you don't have a lot of lead time, do they have, like, I mean, a lot of these bowl games, there's a media day,
oh, yeah,
and there's a day of, like, gifts and stuff. I mean, there's all kinds of junk related to it. Do you have that with the Big Ten title
game?
Yeah,
I mean, they've had their, I believe, they're just their normal weekly press conferences already. Those usually happen on Mondays. So I know Ohio State
right.
had theirs, Wisconsin had theirs. And then on Friday, both coaches are going to be available for press conferences. I think the locker room is open, but I'm not sure, mainly because I'm not going to be there Friday. So deleted that email. But they have press conferences Friday. They have team walkthroughs on the field for photo opportunities. And then, the city of Indianapolis, I mean, for those who don't know, I mean, I kind of glanced over Indianapolis, but for those who don't know, there's a reason that they keep getting all these Super Bowls and Final Fours and regional tournaments and all that stuff, because the convention center basically connects to downtown, which basically connects to Lucas Oil Stadium, and the place where the Pacers play. I forgot what the name of it is. I think it used to be...
Is that Conseco? No.
Yeah, it used to be Conseco. Now I think it's Bankers Life, I want to say.
Yeah, I can't keep up with the changing names.
Exactly, but that is also right downtown, right next to everything. And so everything is so well planned out, which means that they have the fan festivals that are there, which are, I believe, they're free. And so that goes on, I think, Friday night and all day Saturday, which is always cool to see. So there's a ton of stuff going on for fans. For the players, I don't think it's as intense. I don't think they get these huge swag bags. I don't think they go to a theme park like if they were making it to the Citrus Bowl down in Orlando. But there's still a good amount of buildup.
Now, I'm not a huge follower of Ohio State football, so I couldn't tell you – I couldn't give you a matchup breakdown or anything. But it's curious to me that with them losing their quarterback in this last game against Michigan, and that they've fallen to being – to being not the favorite against Wisconsin. I mean, isn't that exactly what happened at the beginning of the year? They lose their quarterback, everybody gets down on them, and here they are with one loss and a very real chance at getting into that four-team college football playoff. I mean, shouldn't we have learned already once that their quarterback is important but not the end-all be-all, that it's still a good team? I'm surprised that Wisconsin comes into this game, at least right now, as the favorite, because I would still think overall Ohio State has to be seen as the better team, right?
Not to mention Ohio State's third-string quarterback is probably better than any of Wisconsin's two quarterbacks.
Oh, no doubt, no doubt.
Yeah, I'm not too worried about that drop-off. I mean, if it was the second string going down in the middle of the game against Wisconsin, then maybe it's different. But you look at the way that they pulled out the win against Michigan, and apparently the third stringer is just fine. I mean, he's been second string all year, so it's not like he's never seen any action or he's never taken any reps in practice. So I feel like he's going to be ready. So I don't think there's going to be that big of a drop-off. I think it's more of whatever Dave Aranda does as a defensive coordinator anyway, as opposed to who's actually playing for Ohio State.
Sure. Yeah, one of the great things that we've seen in Wisconsin, and we talked about Melvin Gordon before, and why wouldn't we, but Joel Stave, the Whitnall High School product who has been much maligned over his career, is really playing his best football. And you saw that on TV. I mean, just so great to see him sort of have this crazy roller coaster year that he's had, where he was benched for a time, where it was unclear if he had the yips or whatever you want to call it, and now he's back to playing really well. Gets a lot of credit now for his pocket awareness and being able to make big throws. Had the huge touchdown pass to Wheelwright And finally, now the Badgers can honestly say they have a passing dimension, and it might not be as deep as the running game, or I don't think anybody will ever say it will be, but it's so nice now to see him really playing at his best at a time when they need him to be. It's great.
Yeah. Yes, he was great on Saturday night. And I don't think he's going to regress much against Ohio State, but there are still lots of throws that he doesn't have in his arsenal. I mean, he hits a ton of throws that he hasn't hit before and that he has shown progress on. So he's gotten better, and I actually feel pretty good about the quarterback situation right now. He's still nowhere near perfect, but with that guy in the backfield alongside him, he doesn't need to be perfect, which, I mean, that's not new. I mean, that's what we've been saying about Wisconsin football for how long now? You know, you just need somebody back there who won't screw up. Just give it to your tailback. So,
right, no doubt.
He's been a lot better. I think the 70-yarder to Erickson was pretty impressive. I think it was more of a catch-and-run than a 70-yard pass. But nonetheless, to be able to hit those deep balls, that's something that they couldn't do at all at the beginning of the year. So to see them do it, even if it's just a couple times against Minnesota, was encouraging. And now it's up to Ohio State's defense. Are they going to try and load the box like Minnesota did in the first half and like lots of other teams have done in the past? Or are they just going to try and play him honestly and see what happens and trust, you know, maybe trust their talent level to be able to tackle Melvin Gordon?
I said this on the Time Warner Cable Sports Channel Roundtable earlier last week. Interesting moment coming up for Coach Gary Anderson. I think for me and maybe for a lot of other fans, there's still that nagging weirdness in the back of our heads, how the LSU game went down, the fact that they lost what looks more and more like a really weird loss at Northwestern, very damaging to even greater aspirations for this season. Next year, that quarterback, Austin Kafensis, who will be a true freshman, considered probably certainly Anderson's most high-profile recruit thus far, in his time at Wisconsin, he's going to be here, and they'll still have this dual quarterback system with Tanner McAvoy and Joel Stave, and the question will be, what do you do? I think it certainly seems like the safe thing that they would redshirt Kafensis and let those guys continue to do what they do, but the system is sort of seen as kind of a makeshift, you know, patchwork thing. Are they going to keep trying it next year? And you could see detractors or supporters for either course of action. Go with what you have now. Go with a new kid who could be both types of quarterbacks in one body. I mean, it's a really interesting moment and maybe a little bit of a referendum on Anderson's recruiting prowess if this kid can step in or not step in right away. It's interesting. I don't really know what to make of what comes next at the quarterback position.
Are you already looking ahead to next year?
You know what? I heard people talking about the Packers draft on the radio this morning coming into work. That's a 9-3 football team and possibly your Super Bowl champion, and they're still talking about they're already talking about who they might be looking at in the draft next year.
No, looking ahead to the 2015 college football season is something that me and my friends from college are doing right now, talking about
because you're Iowa.
Correct.
Yep.
That's what people in Nebraska and Iowa and Illinois are doing right now. That is not what people in Wisconsin should be doing right now. There's still one huge game left and then one bowl game, which could be big, but I don't know what. I'm so confused by this whole new bowl layout. It's just a bunch of crap.
I was just going to ask you that. As I'm sitting here, I'm thinking, I don't even know what bowl game Wisconsin would go to, win or lose. I have no idea how it plays out anymore.
I believe that the winner of this game will go – well, if Wisconsin wins, I believe they're going to go to what is being called like an at-large – college football playoff bowl. They're not making...
Oh, that's a really exciting title.
They're not making the Final Four, but they're still making, like, a New Year's Day bowl. So they're going to play in maybe the Fiesta Bowl or the Sugar Bowl or the Cotton Bowl or one other that I can't remember. Whereas,
well, there's a Rose Bowl.
The Rose is a playoff game, though. Rose is one of the Final Four, which sucks because that means that whoever wins this game won't get to go ahead and put roses in their mouths, which makes for some great video.
Yes, always thinking about the video element, JP. Very good.
Yeah.
So what if I'm jumping ahead a little bit here, but what sort of coverage then should we expect on Time Warner Cable Sports Channel from the Rose Bowl?
Well,
what sorts of things are we going
to
see?
It's my first day back, so how about that for some fun? I get to pretend that I remember what I'm doing, and I get to host a show again. So I'm hosting the show from Indy. Dennis is recapping the Packers-Falcons game on Sunday. What else? And then what stinks is that it's a really big week for Wisconsin basketball. But because Duke is on Wednesday, which by the time my show airs, that's a week old, and then the Wisconsin Marquette game is on Saturday, which is at the same time, so I can't go to that game. I think that we might pitch an over on Wisconsin basketball. Not that I necessarily think Saturday is going to be a great game anyway, but the point remains. We're doing high school basketball stuff. They have gone on without me, which is sad to say that they have been doing some high school basketball coverage. It hurts a little bit. It does.
I can appreciate that. But so let's touch on high school basketball a little bit before we get into to other things. Mark Miller of Wisconsin Sports Network, kind of the foremost guru when it comes to boys basketball in the state, said over the weekend that the thought right now is that Diamond Stone, the Dominican center, the center at Whitefish Bay Dominican, I didn't want to give him a nationality there by accident, he will be choosing pretty much between Wisconsin and Connecticut for his college destination, and that right now, the way Miller put it, 70-30 chance that he winds up at Wisconsin, which would actually really surprise me. He's one of the bigger recruits the state has ever seen, maybe the biggest. I don't know. There's certainly some that's certainly arguable, but he would be an amazing recruit for any program. Connecticut coming off a national championship, and obviously the hometown boys with a team that's right now very much in contention for the national title. Would it blow your mind to see Diamond Stone choose Wisconsin?
It would. I mean, that's definitely well. Right now, no. But at the start of his recruitment, absolutely. I mean, I thought that there was no way that a player of his skill set and of his talent would ever think about Wisconsin. But things are changing.
Yeah, no doubt.
First of all, obviously, Badgers' run last year showed that they can contend nationally. They did not win. I still think that we forget that sometimes. They did not.
I do all the time. It was too much fun to not actually
win.
It
was fantastic. So they did not win, but that obviously changed things. And also, you just look at the spotlight that's been on Bo Ryan because of all this. He's being talked about as one of the best coaches to be in college basketball, and I think that that's something that Diamond Stone can now use in his little back pocket and say, all right, that's maybe something I want to go play for. So it's surprising at the start of it, but right now, no, because he's talked about staying in state. He's talked about Wisconsin as one of his favorites basically the entire time. I mean, even Marquette was in there, I want to say, like, in his top 10. So it's not surprising now, but at the start of it, absolutely.
There's this – because Wisconsin isn't considered one of the foremost centers for great athletes in really any sport, with some possible sort of exceptions, but it always – it's such a bummer to me when a Wisconsin kid leaves the state to play college basketball elsewhere, thinking of, like, J.P. Tokido, who went to North Carolina, or Jerry Smith, a few years earlier, who went to Louisville from Wauwatosa East. You know, you just feel like you have to have those kids in state. And here we have two kids right now, seniors in high school, with Wally Ellenson out in Henry Ellenson, I should say. Wally Ellenson is already now at Marquette, but Henry Ellenson out in Rice Lake, who's going to Marquette, and Diamond Stone at Whitefish Bay Dominican. I mean, it's rare that you have two such high-profile recruits, and I think it would be such a win for the state, just across the board, the basketball scene in Wisconsin, to see both of those kids stay in state. And Wisconsin, I mean, he's so different from other players that you see at Wisconsin. I mean, he's not one of those matchup guys who's 6'10" and is capable of shooting, but not, I mean, he's such an athletic player, so tremendous at an inside game, and I just think it'd be some brand new element for Bo Ryan and the Badgers to have him on board.
Yeah, I agree. I still remember the first time I ever saw him. I went when he was a freshman. I went there before the season started and did a story on who is this Diamond Stone kid, and I was just so unbelievably impressed at what he could do, because he is, well, at that point he was probably, you know, 6'8 or 6'9". But he could handle the ball as well as anybody else on the floor at Dominican's practice, and that includes Dwayne Wilson. He was so good at 14 years old, and so to watch him become one of the top five players in the country is pretty awesome, especially because he's right here in Wisconsin. And to think of the possibility of him going to Wisconsin and the possibility of him matching up with Ellenson at Marquette, and those two facing off for as many times as they do, it might only be one. But maybe it's two or three times. That's really, really exciting to think of those two playing against each other, especially because they play basically the same position. You know, I mean,
right.
Ellington can actually handle the ball even better than Stone. I mean, Ellington is a point guard in a center's body, which is so mind-blowing to see.
A massive center's body, not just a skinny rail of a 6'9 kid. Kaminsky. A massive center.
He's not a Frank Kaminsky. I mean, he's bigger than Frank is already. So to watch these two play off at the face off at the same position will be incredibly special, even if it just happens once. That's all it'll take.
Under Buzz Williams, we haven't seen a lot of Wisconsin kids on the roster. If I recall, last couple of years, I think Robert Frozina, the walk-on that everybody loved, he was the only Wisconsin kid. But now we're at a point where you've got Deonte Burton from Milwaukee. You've got, like you said, Dwayne Wilson, who, by the way, dropped 30 for Marquette over the weekend in a win over Tennessee.
Oops.
Great tournament showing for Marquette. So we're in an interesting place. Luke Fisher from Germantown is going to be active later this month.
And
so
then look at this year's signing class. You have Mr. Nick Niskowiak from Sun Prairie heading
to
Marquette.
Yep.
You have Matt Helt from Nina heading to Marquette. You have Brevin Pritzel from De Pere heading to Wisconsin. So this year is a big one for keeping state talent in state.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. And some impressive college basketball showings over the weekend. You probably got to see Wisconsin. Man, did they look good. They had some hiccups against Georgetown, but won the battle for Atlantis in the Bahamas. And then Marquette won two of their three games in Orlando, lost to Michigan State. And quite honestly, no one beats Michigan State that night. They shot like, 99% from three or something. It was ridiculous.
They kept it close, right?
They did. They played really well. I was so impressed because of how terrible they looked against at home against Omaha and the New Jersey Institute of Technology, which I can't say out loud without laughing. Marquette looks so bad, and then they were really got it together, which is really promising.
And then come back to beat Tennessee. I mean, that's nice. I don't even know how many people in the Marquette locker room expected them to compete with Michigan State. So to do that, I mean, this team, again, they're not supposed to be good this year. I mean, they're just not.
Right.
And so to hang with one of the best teams in the nation, I think that says a lot. And then you look at all the coaches who were in Orlando, all talking in different articles. Basically, they were all asked about Wojo and the job that he's doing, and all the coaches are just heaping praise upon this team, which is fun to see.
Yeah, and really neat to see Dwayne Wilson, who was injured and didn't compete as a freshman last year when a lot of people thought he would. Really neat to see him step up and just be awesome. I think they said that they had to go back well before the mid-90s to find the last freshman to hit 30 in a game for Marquette. So a monumental achievement there as, like you said, as they beat Tennessee to wrap up that tournament. And Wisconsin looked really good against Oklahoma in the second half, pulled away there. They managed to scrape by their first real, I don't know if you want to call it adversity, but their first challenge of the season was Georgetown. They were down 9 in the second half and won that game and crushed UAB. So they are looking the part coming into a game against Duke,
now
baby.
Now they get to look forward to Duke. How fun.
Oh, that's gonna be so great. I feel bad, but my wife told me, Advent services begin this week, which is church on Wednesday night, and we always go to the Advent services. And I'm like, no, Wisconsin Duke, and I got a really dirty look. So I'll probably have to join that one in progress, but I am not missing that game.
Oh, thank you, DVRs. You're wonderful, aren't you?
You are wonderful. So let's jump up even one more level, talk a little bit of pro football before we get out of here. The Green Bay Packers football franchise.
Boy, that was fun, wasn't it?
It was fun. And I said this on the roundtable, too. I mean, it's still true. This game isn't as meaningful as it has kind of become in our minds. I mean, from a logistical standpoint, this wasn't a conference game. It certainly wasn't a divisional game. It wasn't something that was going to get in their way of achieving all the goals. They could have still gotten home field advantage. They could have still been the best team in the NFC eventually. But what a landmark statement to say, yeah, we're better than the Patriots, at least on this night. And I really think they did that, even though they missed some opportunities. They outgained them big time. They didn't get any turnovers, but they still really controlled that game. Even though they could have lost it and had a couple of hiccups, they really looked to me like the better football team.
It was fantastic to watch, and I think, yes, our minds made it out to be a huge game, but that's what made watching it so fun. I mean, that game could have happened against the Bills, and it would have been just kind of a ho-hum game, and why are they sticking around, and
yeah, that's a good point.
Exactly. And so the fact that it was against New England, who had the best record in the AFC, actually still does have the best record in the AFC, against a team from the NFC that's looking to have the best record, that made it really fun. And to watch, obviously, there was the whole Brady versus Rodgers comparison thing. Personally, just kind of watching Darrell Revis against Jordy or Randall or whoever they were pairing him up against was really fun to watch. It was fun to watch, and to have them come away with a win, that means a lot more than if they would have lost, because if they would have lost, maybe that game wasn't so fun.
Yeah, no doubt. I remember talking on our very podcast how much I thought Devontae Adams was going to fill that void perfectly with the loss of James Jones, and it has looked very good. Yeah, he had a really high-profile drop, but I'm surprised because I thought people would really be harping on that, and I think the sort of collective takeaway on Devontae Adams' game is, yeah, he dropped it, but what a great game. You know, I mean, he really stepped up, and I cannot believe with the secondary that the Patriots have, such a talented secondary, that Aaron Rodgers was still able to hit his stride. I mean, what a quarterback that he, and to get a touchdown for Jordy Nelson while he's being guarded by Darrell Revis. I mean, that just shows that the good offense really does beat a good defense. It was really an impressive display against the best defense in the NFL, I think.
And now you get that win. You're tied for the best record in all of the NFL, but specifically in the NFC at 9-3. You're tied with Arizona. You lose a tiebreak because of conference games, but now you're 9-3, and you're set up the rest of the way with Atlanta, who's leading their division, but they're 5-7. You have them. Then you have Buffalo. Buffalo, I believe, 7-5, I want to say. Then you have Tampa Bay, who's just a train wreck. And then you finish at home with Detroit. I mean, if they don't win at least three of those games, I will be completely shocked. And if they don't win, I mean, if they win all four, I wouldn't be surprised at all. So I think they're in really good shape to go in, to go into the playoffs as by far the hottest team in the league.
Yeah, I think right now it's shaping up that there will be a lot of people disappointed if they don't win all four. And not that you can expect that, because that's still asking a lot. I think that game in Buffalo is shaping up now to be the toughest remaining test. Have a lot of faith with the Packers playing Detroit at home to close the season, especially if there's something on the line there. Simply because that's just, I know track record is a poor way to measure how a team is going to do in the NFL, but the Lions haven't won there since Reagan or something. So it's going to be a game that certainly favors the Packers. The game in Buffalo looks like it could be tough. Buffalo's playing really well, some inspired football right now, and maybe that's a challenge, a pitfall on the road. But right now it's shaping up beautifully for the green and gold. It looks like it'd be very difficult for them not to get at least a first-round bye in the playoffs. And right now, certainly the inside track on home field advantage. It's an exciting time to be a football fan in the state of Wisconsin. Although, if you go to Indianapolis and the Badgers don't win, you're gonna come back having drained a lot of people's enthusiasm, JP.
Well, my road record is not very good, so...
No. You went to that Northwestern game earlier this year, didn't you?
I did. I went to that Northwestern game. I went to Packers-Saints. I went to Packers-Seahawks. Yeah, I've seen some losses in my day.
And you were in Miami, and that was almost a loss.
It was very close. I also saw Iowa lose to Iowa State at home. Iowa State of the two wins this season. So
your road record is atrocious.
It's truly, truly terrible.
Maybe you should take another day off to be with your new family instead of trying to go to Indianapolis.
No,
I want to see a Badger victory.
No, that's fine.
No, that's fine. I'm good.
I'm all right.
I'll keep wreaking my havoc all over the United States of America.
Yes, sir.
Well, anything else that we got coming up? I suppose not. I suppose we've hit it all, right?
Yeah, I mean, we've basically gone over everything I'm doing.
All right. Yeah, it's a lot of sitting around. Well, what am I doing? Let's see, we've got coverage of the basketball. The high school basketball season is underway. One of the better teams, two of the better teams in our area are in Waukesha County in girls basketball, Pewaukee. They just knocked off two-time defending state champion Green Bay Notre Dame in double overtime, followed that up with the win over Monona Grove, who went 22-2 last year. So a couple big wins for Pewaukee heading into a battle with Arrowhead, another great team, great program. And Waukesha West, they're 4-0, and their resume is just as impressive with a win over Notre Dame and Kimberly, among others. So that's those are two of the better teams on the girls' side. The boys' side, really wide open this year, really wide open, particularly in the conferences we have. It's hard to say who the better teams are. Obviously, Dominican, we talked about them. They're probably seen as the best of the best right now. But
I believe they're seen as the number one team in the state, period, regardless of division,
yeah.
Are they not?
I think if they're not, they should be. I mean, Nina has a good case up in Division One, but I think a Nina-Dominican matchup would be really, really good. I have to think that I would still take Dominican in that, actually. But, they're certainly in the conversation, if not number one overall.
And not only because of Stone, too, but because of Mutri and their other guards. I mean, they're an all-around good team.
Yep, they got a good guard by the name of Taiwan Bressler. And don't they have one of the Antetokounmpo brothers on that team, or cousins?
I don't know if he's... Yes. Well, he was supposed to be enrolled this year. I have not seen if he's playing or not.
Yeah, I haven't either. So that'll be something to watch as well if he winds up with the team at some point this year. So, it's an interesting year in boys basketball. And once that's underway, of course, we've got more in the winter season. Wrestling, gymnastics, boys swimming gets underway. Skiing, if that's your thing. Lots going on. And, of course, you can read all about it at our website, lakecountrynow.com, or mycommunitynow.com. And in our papers, most of them come out on Thursdays with the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel.
I believe the mountain biking season is over, correct?
Is it? I don't know for sure. I imagine there's some people who mountain bike in the winter.
That sport came out of nowhere, and then all of a sudden they had like 30 high school teams.
See, I haven't followed it that closely. I knew there were a few. I didn't know it was an exploding sport.
There's a ton. I figured their first year they would have... I mean, didn't lacrosse only have like 8 teams its first year?
Yeah, lacrosse is everywhere now. And Carroll University is starting their first lacrosse season. Marquette University started up lacrosse a couple years ago. So, yeah, that sport is absolutely has caught on in Wisconsin. And I think it's going to take a while, but I think eventually we're going to see some WIAA acknowledgement of that sport. It's probably going to take another 5 years, but it is definitely on the horizon.
For sure. Cool.
All right, man. Well, it's good talking to you. Good luck in Indianapolis, and with always good luck with the newborn in the house.
Thank you. My final week of sitting around on the couch and listening to tears all day.
Oh, congratulations to your wife who inherits the whole package when you leave town. Great.
All right. We'll see you, man.
All right. Thanks again. You've been listening to Initial React.